Anybody have any scars on their hands or scars on their body? Remember how you got them? I thought I learned a valuable lesson at the Piggly Wiggly when I was a teenager about box cutters. This 1-inch scar right here was my first lesson. I thought I learned it really well until this one occurred. And I learned a little bit better. Box cutters are very sharp. And teenagers that are not paying attention to what they're doing can accumulate quite a few of them. I was flying home this week from out in Idaho, and I was sitting beside a young man on the plane, and there was something about him. Didn't know what it was at the time, but I just kind of felt compelled to start talking to him. This young man, you could tell, he had tattoos over here, but there's something about his eyes. I didn't know, but there was something about his eyes. He was a cybersecurity analyst, worked with computer companies, worked with other companies, but he didn't start off life like that. In an earlier part of his life, he was in the Marine Corps. Not just in the Marine Corps. He was a Marine Corps sniper. Not just any Marine Corps sniper. Some of you that like the History Channel, have you ever heard of a man by the name of Carlos Hathcock? He was a famous Vietnam sniper for the Marines. The school, the Marine Training School after Vietnam, took his name. This guy was a primary instructor at the Carlos Hathcock Marine Shooting School. So the first part of the conversation was, what kind of rifles y'all use? What kind of options y'all use? What kind of rounds you use? Oh! And because I love guns. And it was, we talked about that, and then he got deeper. I don't know if he sensed it. I don't know what made him open up to me. I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit or what, but this man was probably one of the best shooters in the world at one time, sitting right beside me. So our conversation got deeper. He revealed his past to me. His mom and dad were both addicts. This young man, he was born a heroin addict. At 2 years old, he got taken away from his parents. He was covered in scabies bites, lice. Had a broke leg courtesy of his daddy at 2 years old. And I'm going to give you an idea. That's not easy to do. Kids' bones are very pliable. At that age, it takes a tremendous amount of force. A tremendous amount of force. The situation was so bad, and our DSS system being what it is, of course they gave him back to his parents. That's a whole nother subject that the ER nurse would love to say, but the district superintendent would not like what I'd had to say up here, so I'm not. It got so desperate. His 16-year-old sister took him at 3 years old, and his younger brother raised them by herself. He doesn't even talk to his parents anymore. He was raised up. He spent his 18th birthday in Afghanistan as a Marine. He eventually met a young girl who became his wife. The first year of marriage was such a struggle. Such a struggle. And it is. It's a struggle for any couple. If you're really honest about it, it's a struggle of trying to turn two into one. And everybody feeling out, they're finding their parts of the relationship. Then, as he was on a patrol in Afghanistan, there was an IED incident. His optic nerve was damaged in his shooting eye. He had planned on 20 years as a Marine, then becoming, maintaining and being an instructor somewhere. This guy had guest taught at the FBI Academy. Some people are blowhards. This guy wasn't one of them. He didn't say it to brag. It was just very matter of fact. And you could tell this guy was a real deal. His life, as he knew it, gone. Him and his wife continued to struggle. He was lost in, he didn't know who he was. Neither one of them had accepted Christ. Jesus has a funny way of coming into our lives. They were about to separate. His wife decided, he's telling me all this on a plane. His wife goes to spend the night with a friend. It's a Wednesday night. They go to a Bible study. She is saved at that Bible study. She comes home the next day and says, we're not getting a divorce. And he's like, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm getting a divorce. And she said, no, this is what we're fighting for. He goes to church that Sunday. First time he'd be in church, maybe ever. The pastor spoke about the road to Damascus, where Saul, the biggest threat to the Christian church, a killer, the man who almost single-handedly destroyed Christianity, became Paul at the side of Jesus. Jesus came into his heart. This man who had every excuse to be bitter at the world. This man whose life was in shambles. This man came to Jesus right there in that church in North Carolina. He now, after that, within 6 months, he found a job with someone he had contacted with during his sniper days, cybersecurity. GI Bill paid for him to go to school. He's now at symposiums and cybersecurity alerts all over the country, and father to two adorable girls. And he gushes over his wife and his two girls. He counsels other vets in the Raleigh-Durham area. There's a high concentration of post-vets, of like post-deployment vets out there, Iraq and Afghanistan. He is trying to help them. This young man had every excuse not to do something with his life. I cringed at the details of his childhood. Career-ending injuries and all that gave him scars. He kept going, and he's using his scars as part of God's plans for him. And it made me think about our scars we're walking around with. All of us are. How do we look at our scars, and how do we look at other people's scars? What causes some of our emotional and spiritual scars? Sin. Ours or someone else's. Sickness and illness. Addictions. How many of us have been hurt by somebody else so deeply that it's gashed us to our very soul? How many of us have hurt others deeply and want so desperately to take those actions back and those words back, but they're gone? They're shot like a bullet out of a gun. How many of us have been scarred by tragedy? We could probably all answer yes to one of those. There are some things, some statistics that show how prevalent these emotional scars are. Nearly 700,000 children are abused in the U.S. annually. That's from the National Children's Alliance. 6.6 million people are being stalked in the U.S. every year. I knew at my previous job, I worked with a nurse whose daughter had been stalked. It just totally destroyed her entire life. She had to change everything. 6.6 million people, you can't post anything on Facebook. You don't even shop in the same places for fear that that person who's obsessed with you will come out of the woodwork and you don't know what they're thinking. sudden or expected death of loved ones. It doesn't matter if it's unexpected or expected. It hurts. It hurts. Deep grief is produced from deep love. Divorce rate of almost 50% in the U.S. The illness that may force retirement or produce disability. Being bullied. Being bullied at work. Being bullied at school. Or at home. Lisa, it's okay. I love you anyway. And it's all these things produce these scars that we never see. But they're there. We live in a fallen, sin-filled world. This wasn't a world we were ever meant to live in. We're born with a sin nature. And we live in a garden with spiritual thorns scratching and clawing at us as we go in this life. And God's word is really clear on this. Romans 3:23, we've all fallen short. If anyone can sit up there and tell you, well, you just need to do a little bit better. Yeah. We've all fallen short. We all fall short of God's glory. No matter the most beautiful speaker, pope, pastor, reverend, minister, we all fall short. John, the beloved pastor, the beloved disciple, said in 1 John 1, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth's not in us. We all have the chemicals for our own scars and our own injuries. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man. God's faithful, though. He will stay with us. It's uncomfortable for us to look at our scars sometimes. To admit the vulnerability. Sometimes when we look at our scars, we look at them as failures, injuries, things we want to keep hidden. Sometimes the scars, like this young man, his name is Cody. He's using his as a lighthouse for veterans that are headed towards the same rocks as he hit. Maybe today you're sharing, you have a scar of something that's happened in your life and it stayed hidden for a long time. And you haven't wanted to show it to anyone. I've had a scar like that. Some of you know, I had a daughter from my previous marriage. Today is actually her birthday. She would have been 21 years old. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't miss her. Whether it has been the best day or worst day of my life. And for many years, I did not share those scars. Because I thought I had failed her. I could diagnose people, even though I'm not a doctor. I can lay my hands on people. I can listen to them. And I can tell what's wrong with them. But I couldn't do that with my own daughter. And a father's a protector. And I stayed very... For years, I had a sense of guilt. And that was a scar I was carrying. And I was finally able to let it go and come to terms with it. And I was, since then, I have been able to help people. They have lost parents, they have lost children, to come to terms with their grief. It doesn't go away, but there's a way to come to terms with it. And God used me. And it has not been easy. When we expose our spiritual scars to people, it is not easy. I've had to counsel people in NICUs with babies in the NICU, and it's been hard. I have had to talk to people that their baby has not survived. But I'm better for showing my scar. And there's others. I have others, but I'm better for showing it. And but it's hard to do because this world can be brutal. Sometimes the people in it can be just as brutal. And don't think that anyone walks through this world without getting wounded, physically or spiritually, in some way or another. And it's different than physical scarring. As I began ministry, I realized I've taken care of people, gosh, since 1994, one way or another, with their lungs or with their entire body. I began to realize how God used me physically to help people. I began to wonder about how many spiritually broken people walk out of those hospital doors. You bite your tongue or you live, it heals. May not have a scar, don't even notice it. If we use our tongue to insult someone, or someone does that to you, does it ever heal as fast? No. Spiritual scars and wounds can come from different situations. King David was one of the most righteous men in the history of the Bible. God just shined on him. But David was human, and sin crept in. And we know the story of Bathsheba. He saw her, he lusted after her. He sent her husband Uriah into battle to be killed. Same as if David had plunged a sword into him himself. Nathan, the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to him. And Nathan told him a story of how there was a man with a large flock of sheep, and there was a man with one sheep. And the man with the large flock coveted that one sheep and destroyed the sheep's owner. David became enraged. And ordered the man put to death, and Nathan says, "You, it's you. And God will scar your family for this sin and this rebellion." King David had everything, wealth and power, a great man of God, and sin crept in. Caused him to make a terrible mistake. It scarred David's soul. Elijah was one of the most powerful prophets ever. Elijah was one of two people in the Bible that did not die. He was such a man of God. He went in a chariot to heaven. But Elijah had his weak points. Elijah had served the Lord and was on the run from an evil king and his wife, Ahaz and Jezebel. He had enough merit, had enough faith. God produced tons of miracles through him. Enough to challenge a king and queen and risk his life. But Elijah was warned. He was doubting God. Those around him had fallen away from God. He was tired, scarred by his travels, emotionally and physically drained, and he wanted death. Daniel was able to sleep in the lion's den. Peter slept in prison. Jesus slept during the storm. What did they have in common? They knew that God was in control. When we've been scarred emotionally and spiritually, it's hard to feel that. It is so hard to feel that. Even Jesus, in his human form, had times of grief and loss. This is a verse that I've used when I've been blessed to speak at funeral services, because it's that powerful to me, that Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible, but to me one of the most powerful. Jesus, in his humanity, felt the loss. He felt the scarring, even though he knew Lazarus would be back. He felt his loss. He felt that injury on his soul. And even if Jesus can feel that, we have to. We cannot go through this life without some type of scar, some type of injury. Jesus may have wept because he knew Lazarus' resurrection would start the process of the plot against him. When Lazarus rose from the dead, things were put into motion, and Jesus knew he was one step closer to the cross. There are people out there with scars from the suffering of others. Jesus was blameless, sinless. But yet, he would be scarred. Not for his sins, but for ours. And there's others out there that are scarred with the sins of because of the sins of others. Their lives interrupted, things taken from them because of the sins of others. And they're hurt. They're hurting. Our scars are not meant to be marks of shame unless we want them to be. And it can be really easy when you look at something and you can see your failure in it, or what you think's a failure. But is it? Is it a mark of failure, of shame, or is it a badge of survival that you survived it? There are a lot of us there sitting in this room that have survived tremendous, tremendous loss, tremendous illness. That young man on that plane had no reason to be ashamed. He survived. He thrived. He took Jesus into his heart. He is helping others through his experiences. Sometimes the world doesn't see it, but our God does. Scars remind us of where we've been. They don't have to dictate where we're going. Sometimes we don't know the meaning behind others' scars. There's a lady I used to work with in a local emergency room, and when I first started there, she just had this beautiful face, but you could tell she had a scar from her neck, and she always wore long sleeves. I didn't realize it. She had burn scars. There was a fire at her house, and she went back in to try and save her daughter. She wasn't able to. But it was not a mark of shame for her. The bravery of someone to go back into a burning building and give up their life for someone else. That's one of the greatest shows of love you can have that a person can do. Ernest Hemingway wrote that the world breaks everyone. And afterwards, many are stronger in the broken places. That young lady I worked with, that Marine, stronger. Scars are not a sign of weakness. They are signs of survival and endurance. If you have not healed from your spiritual scars, and there's a lot of us walking around with them, they're gassed, they're bleeding, they're red, they're irritated. Times of the year, scents, songs, things that just trigger it. For myself, I relive. Emily was 12 days old when she passed away. I relive these 12 days every year. The good days and the bad days, and no matter where I'm at, I relive them. It's just part of me, and Some of my scars healed, some of it hadn't. I think that's just where we're at. I've asked God for help, and I didn't know it at the time, but a chubby little five-year-old gave me more help than I had ever had. And he is 17 now, and He's a mess, but I couldn't imagine my life without him. I had to ask for help. With the good days and the bad days, I think most of us do. This young man that was on this plane, he spoke about talking to God and spoke about praying that he could not make it without Jesus. Can any of us? He talked about humble, honest prayer, and I knew it was not a Delta seating assignment to put me beside this young man. I knew it was this. I knew it was this message. There's someone that's needing this. It might be me. It might be someone else. There's someone that's listening, that's going to listen to this, that needs this. Lower your pride, bow your head, and open your mouth. Jesus paid the price. Our suffering, he paid that price. Many times, I found myself picking things up off the table that God's already took care of. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I don't think that's an uncommon thing. Things that we have messed up, things that we have done that God's forgiven us for, but we pick them back up. Much like when Lazarus came out of the tomb, he was covered with filthy death bandages. The miracle's done, but we're still wrapped up in what's already happened, and we hang on to it. Take the bandages off. Take the death clothes off. The miracle's been done. We maintain the scar, but the scar don't have to hurt anymore. That injury's healed. Isaiah 57. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them and I will guide them and I will restore comfort to Israel. Promise to God, from God to Isaiah. God keeps his promises. Mark 2:17, it's not the healthy who need a doctor but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous but sinners. And we are all sinners. We are all sinners. In Romans 8, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set us free. The Word of God is medicine for the hurting spirit. And His church is a hospital. We're all attacked by unbelief. All of us. I have to pray at times, Lord, help me to overcome my unbelief. And if most pastors are honest, we all have to. We're not immune to attacks from it. Some ways we become bigger targets. We got two options. Turn to the unbelief or turn to God's word to renew his promises. There's power in God's word. There's also healing being with God's people. How many times have we started a text? And a lot of times, and I'm so blessed by this, it's not me, it's not Lisa, it's somebody here that starts a prayer chain. They'll text or call and say, would you please pray for so-and-so? And I am always, please, whenever it is, day or night, you are always welcome to contact me. And there's power with people being together, believers being together. We support each other. James, brother of Jesus, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so we might be healed. Psalm 107:20. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Without Jesus, we are all going to the grave, an eternal grave. And Matthew 8. This is one of the most beautiful sets of verses. This centurion, a Roman, an unbeliever, a pagan from another part of the world, had more faith in Jesus than the Pharisees that had been predicting him for 600 years. Just say the word, it will be done. There's hope for our scars. There's hope for the pain. There's hope for the hurt. Prayer, our relationship, our word, our relationship with Christ and each other. Jesus' words, just like with that centurion, they still heal. They still do. Oh. Sorry, got a little happy with it. Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only he can see. That was from Corrie Ten Boom. She was an amazing lady. I've had people put in my life I've not known why. That young man on that plane was to help speak this morning about this. Some people are only put in your life that you're going to see them for a short time. Some people are taken away and you don't know why. But it's a future beyond what we can see. We can't change our past. It'd be nice if we could, but we can't. And our past prepares us in a lot of ways. Things to do, things not to do. We can keep our past from changing us in a negative way. Maybe there's someone who's dealing with a scar that just won't heal and it keeps oozing. Guilt, shame, fear, and anger. I know about the oozing. And when you think you're making progress, it just comes right out. And you just wonder if it will ever end. And you think you're forgotten about, but you're not. You are loved. You are not forgotten about. Those scars can be healed. Lord, help me. I can't do this alone. I'm tired of suffering. Please help me. Let your past make you better, not bitter. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. And I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And then the songs be open. If there's someone here today that's dealing with a scar, or someone that's listening to this, you don't have to hurt. You can't change what happened, but you can use this. You can use it to help someone else. You can use it to help yourself. A lot of times in helping someone else, we're helping ourselves to deal and process what we've been through. And our scars, maybe we can show someone else and help them with healing, be used by God to be and be their hands and feet. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, you see our bare soul. You see the scars that others can't. Father, you know what we're all carrying around. You see the scars that are healed, the badges of victory. And Father, you see the scars that are just oozing and bleeding and hurting that we hide with all we have. Father, I ask that you put your healing hands on those scars, on those injuries, and heal them, help those people work through them. And Father, we may see someone else who is bleeding, someone who will not move on, someone who's just clinging to their past out of shame or out of fear. Maybe out of fear because they don't want to let go because they become comfortable with it and it's all they know. Father, help them to put it down. Help them to realize that storms end. Help them to feel you with them. Father, if these people have not taken you into their hearts, Father, open their hearts. Break that scar tissue. Give them an opening for Jesus to come into their lives. Father, use us to help these people. We may feel underprepared, but you will never call us for something you will not prepare us for. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altar's open.